Stand up for God, whether people compliment or complain. Just know that the blessings of God are upon you, even when the world curses you. Remain faithful to God, because He remains faithful to you. It is one of the paradoxes of life that men's curses and God's blessings fall on the same person. I find that amazing and unexpected, yet true. Jesus recognized that fact and gave one of His Beatitudes on that subject, saying, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now, Jesus' statement set out a basic truth, that some will be persecuted just because they live a life that is marked by righteousness. And then He applied that principle in two sentences in which He used the personal pronoun you or your 5 times. That indicates the world's opposition to the upright is a truth which will be experienced personally by everyone who follows Jesus as Lord. It seems strange that anyone would oppose another for righteousness, but an unregenerate and depraved society does not want to be exposed by the right doing of anyone. Because righteousness exposes unrighteous, the unrighteous persecute and oppose the righteous. That's why men's curses and God's blessings fall on the same person, the person who is living the Christ life in his daily affairs. What does the Bible say about the world's opposition to those who follow Jesus as Lord and trust Him as Savior? I find 5 principles in Holy Scripture which deal with the problem of the persecution of good people. First, it is to be expected. Some of the first Christians were shocked that non-Christians hated them. So the Apostle John wrote, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." The Apostle Paul wrote to new converts in Christ who lived in Thessalonica, "No man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that you were appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know." Now, when those two references are placed together, we see 5 principles related to the world's opposition to Christians. First, the world hates those who Jesus calls out from the world. Second, Christians should not be surprised at that animosity. Third, Christians should not be unnerved or lose heart when faced with such opposition. Four, the Christians should expect such opposition from the world and accept it as God's purpose for them. And fifth, it has been forewarned and will happen, just as we have been told. So you should remember these facts when you are opposed for your faith. A second principle, suffering for Christ is not only to be expected, it is a privilege. Now that is surprising, isn't it? We would have thought it a burden rather than a privilege to bear hardships because of our faith in Christ. We read Philippians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29, "In nothing be terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." So let us ask this question. How could suffering for Christ be considered a privilege? Well, Philippians 1 replies it is a privilege because it is a proof of your salvation. If you did not belong to Jesus, the world would accept you as you are. But it opposes you because you're different from the world. The opposition of the unregenerate is one of the testimonies that you truly belong to Christ. To be a Christian, therefore, means that you believe on Jesus and that you endure opposition for His sake. Now, do not react to the devil's opposition by thinking God is not protecting you, for the way you bear up in trouble is a gripping testimony for Christ. I think it was the testimony of Stephen when he was being stoned to death by an infuriated mob that God used to bring Saul of Tarsus to faith in Jesus. Thank God for trouble if it affords opportunity to be a witness for Christ. A third principle, opposition to the Christian way is natural. Now, all of nature has its opposites. For every up, there is a down. For every far, there is a near. For every come, there is a go. For every Christian who lives in righteousness, there is a non-Christian who opposes righteousness. And that is the nature of the world in which we live. The Apostle Paul wrote, "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." A life of devotion which results from union with Jesus Christ will inevitably be opposed. Note the inclusive word "all" in the statement. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That includes you and me and all other believers. But do not be distressed when opposition to your faith arises. Know that it is experienced by all of those who trust and obey the Lord Jesus. A fourth principle. Opposition is easily understood. In Galatians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul proposed an allegory which explains the world's opposition to the Christian. He reminded us how the two sons of Abraham, named Ishmael and Isaac, experienced conflict. He said Ishmael, who was born of the servant girl as an indication that Abraham and his wife Sarah did not trust God to fulfill his promises, was born after the flesh. He said Isaac was born according to the promise of God and was born after the Spirit. And then he applies it this way. Those who reject Jesus Christ and as Lord and Savior are born after the flesh today. And those who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are born after the Spirit, that is Holy Spirit, today. So those born after the flesh are lost and those born after the Spirit are saved. And then he makes this application. As then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Jesus explained it in these words. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You notice how we tend to be fearful and dislike what is different from us? A child with a different color skin from the majority, whatever the color, will be the object of tricks or ridicule by the other children. A person whose ears or nose is different from other people will be the brunt of cruel jokes. Just so, when a person gives his allegiance to Jesus Christ and lives in a world that rejects the claim of Jesus Christ, he will be opposed. Now, that's not the conclusions of a pessimistic spirit. It is a fact of life. A fifth principle. Opposition to Christ is preferable. You do not want the approval or applause of people who rebel against God. It's no complaint if members of the unregenerate world system approve of you. On the contrary, Jesus said, "Woe is you if all men speak well of you." For so did their fathers to the false prophets. Now, if the wicked speak well of you, it indicates you're living a wicked lifestyle. So stand up for God, whether people compliment or complain. To be disapproved by the world is evidence that you are approved of God. Be content that the blessings of God rest upon you, even when the curses of the world are received. Remain faithful to God, for He remains faithful to you. Father, we desire the respect of people, but we desire your approval much more. So give us the grace to take a stand for right and to be found standing for right when the battle is over. Make us strong against the devil and those who follow him for Jesus' sake. Amen.